This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
The travel industry is always trying to improve, and solo travelers especially can benefit from some of the trends shaping up to take hold in 2019. Your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, has a keen eye for what solo travelers should know, what they should ignore, and what to get in on right away. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. This version of Astrid's Solo Travel Trend Watch is sure to get you prepared for the year ahead. Speaking of the year ahead, be sure to stay tuned to the end because Astrid has an announcement for Solo Travel Talk. Astrid, you've mentioned in a previous episode that one real trend in the travel sector is simply more people are going solo.
It really is, and I want to share just some statistics to kind of to hone in on how big this particular travel style is becoming. We'll start with Google, the big search engine that everybody goes to that's on the internet. But Google's searches for solo travel ideas, anything dealing with solo travel, was up 600% per last year.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that is amazing. And there was over 200 and about, I'd say, not 200, but 2.5 million solo female searches.
Wow. That's
not male and female. That's just solo female searches. Booking.com, they had a surge of 40% in solo travel searches, and their bookings were 1 out of 4 were for solo travelers. Facebook. Now, Facebook has different pages for travelers, girls who travel, solo travelers. There's one solo travel society. That Facebook page has over 237,000 followers.
Whoa.
Yes, and it's millennials as well as baby boomers. And it shows that 75% of these followers are female and 25% are male. So there really is a strong, strong female bias in the solo travel genre. But these solo travelers, according to Facebook, are mothers, they're business women, they're students, retirees, widowers, divorcees, professionals, that are basically still working men and women. So they're all different types of people that actually now are engaging in solo travel. Also, I want to mention just a couple of social trends because that shows you how solo travel and people who travel, how all of this is really the reason why it has changed. First of all, 51% of all of the wealth in the United States is controlled by women now. And, you know, who controls the pocket makes the decisions on what to do with the money. Also, the single head of households is steadily trending up. And, you know, just because people are single doesn't mean they want to stop traveling. So you are seeing now more people who are single or single heads of households. They're choosing to travel and to travel solo. Also, 59% of the solo travelers, they want to see the world and they don't want to wait for others now. You know, they've just decided that, you know, if I want to go, I'm going to go with or without someone. And the solo travel, traveler is 59% saying, I'm not going to wait for anybody to go. So that really shows you that the bias against solo travelers, or these are people that don't have anybody to go with or whatever. That's not true. They're choosing this. Yeah. 45% of the solo travelers want the freedom to do what they want when they want. I mean, that shows you too that people now they want to call their own shots and as much as they can. Another statistic is 46% of the people who travel solo take 3 or more solo trips a year. Now that is, you know, I know it because I've studied the statistics, but I know to a lot of people, they don't realize that people who like to travel solo, they do it a couple of times a year. Family travel is usually one time a year. Couples travel maybe twice a year, but the solo travelers, three plus trips a year is what a lot of them do. So women really now, you know, because they're more educated, they're independent financially, they're beginning to just, they're just ready to travel, and they will travel solo. So, I am focusing on the women because, as I shared with the statistic, there are more female solo travelers than males. But in general, the statistics really do prove that solo travel is a travel style of choice, and that's here to stay, and it's growing exponentially.
Before we get into all the trends, do you have a particular trend that rises to the top of your chart? What trend are you most closely monitoring?
Solo travel safety.
Oh, okay.
Really, this is the big one. And how I'm going to answer this question is I'm going to break it down into several different elements. Safe destinations, you know, what destinations are trending that solo travelers consider to be safe. Then solo travel safety issues, how that plays into the solo travel trend, and then technology. I mean, technology really has helped the solo traveler stay safe. So there's lots of things now that are out there because of technology that are trendy and have helped the solo travel trend to really take hold. And then last, just some safe activities that, you know, you can do that a solo traveler can feel comfortable in doing, et cetera. So some of the popular solo travel destinations are Hawaii, Alaska, the Caribbean, Canada, Peru, Australia, Portugal, Vietnam, Colombia, which is a surprise to some people because, you know, as much as 10 years ago, the solo traveler and most travelers would have avoided Colombia because of the drug trafficking, and maybe, you know, they just totally felt like there was nothing to do there. But it is very popular now and growing and really growing because it's beautiful, and it has a lot of wonderful things to visit and see. It's a great place to relax, etc. Also, Japan. Japan is big in 2000.
On your list, too.
Yeah, it is. I'll be going in 3 months. I'm so excited. My first trip to Japan, actually. Scandinavia. Then also, Eastern Europe now is starting to be a destination more and more for any type of traveler, because they've come through all of the communist period. They've also done a lot of refurbishing of the hotels and the different things that the architecture that was beautiful that maybe for some reason had been kept up. But Romania, Montenegro, Bosnia, and Poland are very popular in Eastern Europe. And then the super safe destinations of Singapore and New Zealand. So, you know, this rounds out basically the list that the solo traveler is considering are safe and that are popular.
I liked that you came in with your top trend. I first thought you were going to say solo travel, but of course it's the solo travel safety. So nice Astrid twist on that.
Oh, yeah, that is. That's it. Yeah. I mean, when the searches come in, and even on my website, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, we get a lot of hits on everything that I talk about, dealing with safety, how to stay safe, where you're going, say if it's in Paris or in Vietnam or whatever. And we've done several podcasts dealing with travel safety. Safety is
number one. There you go. Okay, well, I'm calling this, in my mind, I'm calling this the Astrid Trend Watch Show. So what other trends?
Wait, I haven't finished.
I'm jumping ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, now technology has played such a big part in this safety trend.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody has now some smartphone, or most everybody, especially who travels solo. So you're connected 95%+ of the time. You might go somewhere off the grid that there's no real connection, but for the most part, you can Skype, you can FaceTime, you can phone, you can text, you can video, email. So the traveler now feels safe traveling solo because of, first of all, the smartphone. Then you've got all of these apps, and these apps are also trending more and more, whether they're language apps that do translations right there that will actually voice answers and help you navigate anything that perhaps you are really having some kind of difficulty with. Then you've got, you know, all the direction maps apps. It's hard to get lost now. And before, you know, you had to really know how to read a map, and you had to have some sense of direction. And you could feel out of sorts if you were beginning to really get turned around or lost. But it's hard to get lost now with these good apps. It really is, because it tells you go back, but turn around, all kinds of stuff. Then you've got the wonderful STEP app, which is the Smart Traveler Enrollment Program sponsored by the U.S. Travel Department.
Our unofficial sponsor for the Solo Travel Talk show.
Oh, yes. I love this app, because this app, when you're traveling solo, you can log in your trip, all of your information in terms of your email, your text, you know, your phone numbers, also of family members in case there's some kind of emergency. Say you're involved in an accident, you end up in a hospital and you can't really communicate with the doctors. If you're enrolled with STEP, there will be a representative from the U.S. government that will help navigate until they can get a family member involved, or, you know, you're able to do it. Plus, if there's a natural disaster, or say some kind of terrorist incident, or something that the U.S. traveler needs to be warned about, they send you text or warnings telling you avoid this area, or if you need to, say, evacuate, some of the ways to do it that they recommend, etc. So it's like having... Well, they have these guardian angel programs in different areas of the world. If you go and you want to make sure that if something happens, you have somebody to call and they can help you work through whatever issue you have. This is an app that's kind of like a guardian angel that's tied to the U.S. government. So for U.S. citizens, I recommend every trip you go on that you're traveling solo to log in your trip. It's just a smart solo travel practice. Then also, now they have these personal alarm systems, these apps that if you feel like, you know, somebody is upsetting you, or you've had an incident, or you think, all you have to do is put your thumb on this particular spot on the app and it alerts the authorities and your loved ones. So, you know, people, bottom line, feel much safer traveling with technology now, and that plays into this safety trend that I'm talking about. People want to know about this. They are using technology. They're going to safe places, as well as they're doing safe activities. I mean, a lot of people will travel solo and join groups that the activity has already been vetted, and they know it's solo friendly. Like, say, going on a cruise, a river cruise, they know that the different daytime activities, whether it's hot air ballooning, which there is some risk in that if there's, you know, unfortunate accident with that. But for the most part, the vendors that these companies are using, they vet them because they surely don't want any kind of liability or something to happen. So solo travelers are looking for activities that have been vetted that are safe. Okay. LGBT friendly groups. They want to know that where they're going, they're going to feel comfortable, whether it's the destinations or the activities. That's playing into the safety trend also. And we have lots of LGBT solo travelers. Mm. So this is all part of that growing trend that safety really is first for the solo traveler. Also, rail travel is becoming more popular with solo travelers because there's an inherent safety factor. Say you take a rail tour or whatever, they like that. I'm not saying totally rail travel anywhere in the world, but rail travel is one way to get from point A to point B in a different way than flying. And, solo travelers, rail travel was really big about 30 years ago, 34 years ago, especially through Europe, your rail, everybody was doing it. Then it kind of, petered out because you got EasyJet and all these very low-cost carriers that could take you. But rail travel is kind of experiencing a renaissance, and I think it will continue to do that. But and solo travelers are picking up on using this as part of their safety logistics or whether a type of tour. So, I'm going to go into more specific types of solo, what I call interest trips, as, I share more of the trends in 2019. But bottom line, the biggest trend to date for the solo travel is staying safe while traveling solo. And I think this will, always capture, Catherine, the number one spot.
I do, too. It seems pretty.
Yeah. It goes without saying that that's the biggest fear that the solo traveler has. They don't want to be alone. And, they want to be able to have a good time by themselves. But number one, they want to know that they're going to be safe.
Okay, now, keep me waiting no longer. What other trends are you watching for 2019 that you think our listeners should know about?
Okay, so now we've got the elephant out of the room.
Yeah.
Solo travel safety. We could go into the exciting trends that are evolving in the solo travel sphere. One of the real, I guess you'd say, types of travel that is coming into real dominance now is what I call transformative travel. And these are trips with a meaning. Solo travelers are not only looking for a good time, but they want to be enriched in their travels. The solo traveler especially wants to be enriched. I know everybody who goes, with their significant other or with their family or in groups of their friends, they want to have good time with who they're with. So that's all part of the trip. But the solo traveler, they really want to be really, they want to have more than just going to a place, okay? They want to learn new things. They are interested in understanding different cultures. They enjoy meeting interesting people and developing new friendships that, only they could do if they were solo. If you're already with a group of your friends or your husband or whatever, you have less likely natural opportunity. You might meet some people, but you have more of an opportunity if you are open to it. And most people who travel solo do kind of have something in their psyche, I think, about they're interested in other people. So they tend to meet other interesting people. So that's very important. Bottom line, really solo travelers are interested in traveling with a purpose trips, whether it's adventure trips, reflection, self-growth, pure escape. Some of them just want to veg. Now, that's totally different than enriching, but that might be exactly what they need. They want to learn a new skill. They want to go on trips where they will come back changed and have learned something. And then another trend in these, you know, travel with a purpose is volunteering. You're seeing many more trips now where solo travelers will go for 3 weeks and teach English somewhere, or they will, you know, help in some kind of way with...
Build a school.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And I think that's wonderful because that's bringing the world together. And if you do it solo, you really get immersed in it. But some of the venture trips, I mean, these go without saying, but they're more and more hiking trips and biking trips, water rafting trips, mountain climbing, you know, running marathons. I mean, you know, there are all these trips that are geared to specific types of adventures that, like I said, are pretty well vetted, you know, and they're geared to solo travelers. They're not just geared to couples or families or whatever. So that's big. Then there are immersive exploration trips. And these are trips that are the act of discovery that basically enlivens your senses, like, you know, going to a dude ranch, and you're out on the plains, and you at night you're, you know, around the campfire, and you're riding horses, and but it's an immersion into kind of a whole ethos that you're not going to do if you live in New York City, and then also like glamping, and then maybe going hunting. But this is escaping really into nature and the out of doors. Doesn't have to always be into nature, but a lot of it, of these immersive types of adventure or exploration trips are. But the solo traveler that's going on this, they're looking for that element of discovery or surprise. They like to challenge themselves. And when it's all said and done, they have a sense of accomplishment. So this is something that is trending very strongly now. So, you know, the solo traveler just doesn't want to be a tourist.
Right.
They're changing into an explorer, which that is exactly. I've always thought about myself. I'm not a tourist. I've never liked to just tour. I like to explore. I mean, I must have some kind of Marco Polo, you know, DNA in me somewhere, because I love to go to a place I've never been before, walk down streets I've never been before, eat in restaurants that I just love being somewhere else and exploring. And that is something that many solo travelers are looking to do. They're not looking quite as much as being control in a control group or with controlled activities. They want to, you know, explore and experience things in all their senses, I guess you would say. Another trend in this transformational section or type of solo travel is wellness solo travel. And, you know, this is very much a transformative type of travel experience. It's not just, say if you want to go to a spa, it's no longer just beauty. Most of the people who do these wellness or these week-long spa stints, they're looking for also some personal growth. On an emotional level, you know, on a mind, body, and soul focus, because they're looking to feel good on the inside, from the inside out, basically. So you'll see there's quite a few after the divorce retreat or grieving weeks where you go to a very nice spa or resort and they have breakout sessions in counselors, etc., where you can deal with some of the things that you haven't had the time to deal with, or maybe you didn't have the right person to, and you can go and just be be maybe with others or just yourself. So these are becoming more and more popular. As well as, you know, getting the spa and the massage, yoga and Pilates, some hiking in. So there, you know, there are a lot of different types of these mind, body, soul focus weeks or long weekends getaways that people are seeking. There's also a trend for digital detox retreats where people go, they get off the grid and they stay off the grid for a week.
That sounds glorious.
No, let me tell you, this is for a lot of people, this is not easy, but they wanting to do it just to get back in touch with just feeling good without the phone. So Rancho, I know Rancho Malibu has a good program for this and should be very nice. Then another trend is sleep retreats or silent retreats where you go either, you know, say you need to develop better sleeping habits or you've got an issue with sleeping. This is a whole week or a long weekend dealing with sleep, letting you sleep, helping you sleep deeper, trying to figure out why you're not sleeping. I mean, just to talk about it sounds wonderful. Hey, and then silence retreats, that's a big thing. People are seeking mindfulness, they're seeking being quiet. What do they really feel? What's really bothering them? And, you know, they can't do it in their home environment. So this is becoming more and more popular in the wellness stage. You've also got preventative wellness where you go to these different clinics in Europe and different places where in Asia, you know, you could go to a Eastern or an Asian type of medicine focus and you'll get a physical and then they'll work with you with acupuncture and the different things that they use in order to, say, strengthen your kidneys or, you know, whatever. But this is becoming more and more popular. And then the last, I think it's really kind of funny, sugar detox. People are really starting to worry about the effects of sugar on their health. And a sugar detox is also one of the wellness types of getaways to help you get your diet back in shape. So, you know, these are just some of the wellness types of trips that the solo traveler is looking to, and really any kind of traveler. So if you're interested in that, just get on Google and Google sleep retreats or whatever. You'll see all kinds of information about it. Okay, now another subcategory in the transformative travel are curated trips or trips here again with a focus. This is, you know, self-explanatory. It's where people want to learn something. So typically you've got your food and your wine tours, whether they're day tours or they're longer tours. And you'll have cooking classes. You'll go to the markets, you know, wine-making classes. You'll go out and pick the grapes and, you know, you'll even stomp on them. If you know, there's all kinds of stuff. But, you know, this is really, people love the food and wine-oriented trips that are more than just learning about it. They want to really get the whole full circle of it. And I shared, I'm getting ready to go to Japan in a couple of months, and I saw, I was looking food and food tours in Japan. There is one food tour, and I can't remember the name of who offers it, the vendor, but it is like a 10-day food immersion in Japan. God. You should see. I mean, I thought I was good. I wish I could do that. Yeah. you know, that would be a wonderful way to be introduced to Japan. But, you know, because I have my website and a focus on affordable luxury ideas for solo travelers, that's a little bit too specific. But boy, that sounded very tempting.
Yeah,
also, I saw one culinary exploration in Sri Lanka, which looked really interesting because, you know, Sri Lanka is basically India, but it has a little bit different type of essence to it. And that actually looked pretty, that looked enticing also. And then the last one, you're going to just die. This is a type of curated trip, and it was so funny when I read it, I wanted to talk about it. You can go to farm school in Austria. You can learn how to milk cows. You can learn everything you want to, or need to know to run a farm. So if you...
How cool.
Yeah, is that cool? Now, if you want to completely do something you've never done and get down to the basics of, you know, just being out there with the animals and everything, I mean, this might be something that is a life-changing moment. Not that you'd be a farmer, but I bet you you'll think about a lot of very interesting things. And I bet it's quite fun in the final analysis. So, I thought I would... mentioned that. So, okay. And then you've got the next category, which is basically your culture and your history-specific tours. Lots of people like to do this because it really does give them a chance to really understand a culture much more deeply. And, you know, there are a lot of people who kind of, they want this. They don't have a food focus. But things like art and architecture in Russia. I mean, the arts in Russia are unbelievable. They are at such a high level, whether it's the visual arts or the performing arts. And the architecture is out of this world because it's so exotic. Theater in London, that's another, you know, people who really love the theater to go spend a week in London and see different plays and musicals. And then enjoy London during the day. Oh,
lots, that sounds good.
Wonderful. Also, Carnival Week in Venice. That's also, it's difficult to really make happen because, you know.
It's so popular.
Yeah, it's so popular, yeah. Etc. But these are trips that people are looking for and solo travelers. How can I do Carnival in Venice? Discovering Egypt, doing a Nile cruise, understanding, you know, the ancient civilization of Egypt and Egyptology. These types of trips, you know, curated trips that, you know, focus on history and culture. My trip to Egypt, I have to say, was one of the top three life-changing trips I've ever had. It was unbelievable in terms of what I was seeing, the things that it was making me think about, the grandeur of everything, and the way civilization was so long ago. It just blew me away. I loved it. And then, of course, you've got your religious-focused tours in Israel. They're very popular. So transformative travel is not just, you know, fun and going to the must-see sites. You know, it's a type of travel that solo travelers are demanding now more and more because they do want to come home from a trip and have been transformed. You know, they want to learn something, they want to do something new, acquire a new skill, meet new people from different cultures, understand all these different foreign cultures on a deeper level. Yeah. They don't want to continue to have the fear or an unknown bias because they have not themselves gone there and made their own opinion up. So the food, the customs, the music, the arts, all of that goes into, you know, experiencing a new culture. So doing is now it and not just going. You know, people want to be enriched They want to travel with a purpose. Okay. Another big trend. That was transformative travel. Now, another big trend are trips to forgotten destinations or less traveled destinations, which they call off the beaten path. Okay. This is really somewhat a direct reaction to over-tourism, which this is a horrible phenomenon now that is plaguing some of the traditional travel destinations. You just think of traffic jam. You know, that's the, yeah. I mean, you know, Paris, London, Rome, Venice, Florence, jammed with people. And if you go in the high season, you just know it is not going to be the type of trip that you would have if you'd go in the off season or even in the shoulder season. But unfortunately, the cruise industry has expanded so much and the ships are larger. And oh my gosh, you know, in these places, they're deluged with all these tourists. So you've got crowded streets. The hotels are much more expensive, and the restaurants even. And it's hard to get reservations, the long lines at sites. I mean, it's like Disney World or Disneyland. Oh my gosh, you got to wait 3 hours to get in to see something. As well as it's just heightened stress for everyone. So, you know, these off the beaten path destinations, people are choosing now more and more because they don't want to go where it's overrun with tourists. So here's the list where people are starting to really enjoy and go that are considered off the beaten path. Colombia. Cartagena, I just went to it, and I must tell you, Cartagena is one of the... I love that trip to Cartagena. The Caribbean music and food, the architecture, they've just... For about the last 6-7 years, a lot of people have gone in and redone these gorgeous structures that have interior courtyards and, you know, these beautiful boutique hotels. And, they have a vibe down there that is just really, well, it's Caribbean, but it's got a sense of Spanish elegance to it. Love it. Russia is also an off the beaten path place because so many people have a bias that it's unsafe, that it's unmanageable, that I don't know. I don't think I'll have a good time there. But more and more people are putting those I call media biases or whatever to the side, and they're choosing to go to Russia. Now, there are certain ways that I believe you should experience Russia that make it much easier for the solo traveler. And if anybody wants to know how I do Russia, I've been there 4 times and I love it. And I have the most fabulous contacts that can make anything happen in Russia. So if you would like, my expertise, just, you know, comment in the comment section or email me at astridtravel.com and I'll be happy to help you. But Russia is one of them. Antarctica, that's becoming more and more an off the beaten path that people are going to, freezing to death and all, but they are wanting to see the penguins and the, you know, the glaciers and that terrain before it all melts and we're all flooded. Canada, now, for us who are Americans, we don't think that's off the beaten path, but Canada is really not a place where there's a whole lot of tourism. There is in some places because here again, the cruise ships, but you've got a lot of, you know, from the east to the west coast, there's a lot of beautiful nature in there. There are a lot of different things that people are beginning to really enjoy in Canada. So it's one of those kind of off the beaten paths that people like. I mentioned Eastern Europe. Yes, people traveling to Eastern Europe as well as the Baltic states, which were actually part of Russia, but they're not, you know, connected to them as part of, you know, their governmental sphere anymore. Tourism is definitely growing there, and solo travel is growing there. Mexico. Mexico is kind of similar to Canada. You know, it's in our Western American sphere, and it's close. But Mexico, you know, some people feel like it's not safe for solo travelers. There are some safety issues in certain places. There are certain things that you need to do to make sure you don't make yourself vulnerable. But Mexico is definitely a Oaxaca, a San Miguel, you know, Tulum.
Mexico City.
Yeah, Tulum. Mexico City is the big one. But all of these places mm-hmm. now, they have fabulous food culture, wonderful arts, very affordable. You have a great time. I mean, I love Mexico. Scandinavia. But Scandinavia in the off season. Do not go in the high season. Go when it's cold. Look for the northern lights. I mean, get on a husky. You know, I mean, snowfish. The bottom line is, or ice fish. People don't go to Scandinavia quite as much as they go to these other places. So there are lots of beautiful things in Norway, in Finland, Denmark, that, you know, are really off the beaten path. And people are going there more because, here again, it's safe there, or for the most part. Egypt is definitely considered off the beaten path because it had such a... people were really afraid for safety. But they are doing so much to try to make that a non-issue. And I went several years ago. I did not feel at all unsafe. Now, I must say, I went with the Uniworld group. I went on a Nile River cruise as well as we did Cairo, and I felt super safe. But they had a lot of safety built into protecting the travelers on the tour, as well as, you know, the riverboat itself, etc. But Egypt is considered an off the beaten path, even though it has, you know, all these wonders of the world. So, but it's becoming more and more trendy to go to, and even for the solo traveler. Morocco, another wonderful, off the beaten path, great trip for solo travelers. You must do it with certain safety, you know, practices. But, well, I've only been to Marrakesh, and I can tell you, I never felt unsafe in Marrakesh. I loved Marrakesh. Maldives is another one, Sri Lanka, and Israel and Jordan, but only in the off season. So those are considered kind of like off the beaten path destinations that have a lot of things to experience.
I noticed about that list, Astrid, it seemed a little bit like there were, and you touched on this, some of these countries were considered too dangerous for a while. So it's maybe they were like completely off the shelf and now they're kind of coming back into their own.
Yes, and I think probably because tourism is such a valuable economic driver and then technology. The fact that, you know, people are connected, it's harder for things to happen to lots of people. You might have incidents like, you know, some unfortunate terrorist incident or, you know, some kind of something. But besides that, people are so on the grid that it's hard for a lot to happen like it used to and not ever be known and, you know, somebody disappears. So, you know, that's changed a lot of this, and people are beginning to stick their toe in the water for sure. Okay, the next trend is what I call the back to your roots solo trip. Mm. And this is basically heading to the homeland of your ancestors. Now, I actually discovered my own back to the roots travel experiences. Well, first of all, my mother was born in Berlin, Germany, and my whole family on that side obviously is German or used to be Prussia and some of the family. But, you know, I grew up in this half European, half American, household for, you know, when I was very young. So I always, you know, I was so interested in knowing what my grandmother did when she was a child and where my grandfather's farm was and how he grew up. And so I was always so curious. So some of my original solo travelers went back to seeing all of these things. And then about 10 years ago, I saw on the internet that National Geographic was doing what's called the Human Genome Project. And this was a project that they sponsored where they offered DNA, well, you could buy their DNA kit, and it would show you how your mitochondrial or your mitochondrial, and I hope I'm saying those two words right, DNA traveled from where it started in Africa, and like for females, it only goes through your female line, and it shows actually the different ethnic groups and locations in the world where your female line migrated through the centuries. So I thought that was so fascinating, I did it. I've actually done it with National Geographic twice to make sure it came out exactly right, and it did, and they've upped their the results. But that was very fascinating to me. And then now you see Ancestry.com has it, 23andMe. 23andMe also goes into, you know, different types of health, you know, issues that you possibly can develop because of your DNA. But back to the travel aspect. I had my back to your roots solo trip, what I call aha moment, the second time I went to Russia. The first time I went to Russia, I was blown away because I felt so comfortable there. I loved the people. I thought, I just felt a sense of just relaxation, and I just loved Russia. And I thought, why do I love Russia? I mean, you know, this is so weird that I would love Russia. But I didn't think any more about it. I just thought, oh God, this is wonderful. So the second time I went, I think it was the third or fourth day, it came to me. The reason why, or I had this aha moment, maybe the reason why I love Russia so much is almost a half of my female DNA through the centuries went through the Russian territories from the southern part of the Caspian Sea up the western coast through Azerbaijan, Baku, and then up the Volga and all the way up till it turned going west. In, I guess it's probably Belarus, and they probably went through Minsk to Poland and then to Berlin. I thought that was amazing. And I can't say that I don't believe that. I mean, there's no proof there, but, and I think other people have been experiencing that too. I think that's some of the reason why this testing is going on. You know, and then it's wonderful to go back and find your ancestral homes. I've done it. I've found the farm. I even had the opportunity to buy the big manor house back.
Oh, and wow. Everything.
But it changed so much. And, you know, it's in Poland now. It's not even in Germany. And it just didn't make any real sense. But I got to meet the gentleman who lived in there. He's corresponded with me. I've gone back several times. I mean, it's just special. Then I've met all of my relatives that I can find that were behind the wall and everything. So, you know, to trace their footsteps and to go to these places, you know, are very interesting. I still have, I've been to Berlin and what's called Veprits, which was Prussia then. Now it's Gorzowilkopolski. But also I've been to south of Paris to Joigny and Normandy, where my father, their whole family was French, was from. I bought the book about my great-grandmother, the seventh time removed. She was married to a very infamous Roy, and there's a whole novel about her life. and everything. I mean, I've done all kinds of stuff. I still haven't gone, though, to Quebec, which, you know, that's where they...
Canada's on the list.
Yeah, Canada is on the list. So, but it's back to your roots solo travel. Yeah. That is a big trend, and I think it will continue to be a trend because there's some substance there that you can't really explain. Okay, the next one is basically the bucket list destination. I mean, this is popular with, you know, couples or anything, but also with your solo travelers. I mean, there's certain things that you got on your bucket list. You mentioned the 7 continents of the world to me prior to when we started taping the show. You know, there are a lot of people who want to go to every continent in the world, me included. I only have 2 left, but that, you know, they're going to do it solo. You know, some people take around the world solo trips, of which I've done, and they go to all the continents as part of their itinerary. But then you got your standards like the Great Wall of China, pyramids, the Northern Lights, safari, the Wailing Wall, you know, in Israel. All of these are bucket list kinds of things that, you know, certain people, they really, before they leave this world, they want to at least walk there and take a photograph. Me, this year on my bucket list is Japan, India, and Australia. I mean, I really have wanted to see the Taj Mahal and go to India for so long. And in Australia, I mean, it's a fascinating place. It's a very huge country. Difficult to really completely do well, but the airlines and the rails are pretty good now, so I'm gonna do Australia and New Zealand. So those are my bucket list 3 big trips this year. Now the next trend is road trips for the solo traveler. I mean, you most people don't think about it, but it's becoming more and more popular. And some of it, I think, goes back to the people who are doing it. A lot of it are baby boomers. And that's how they traveled. When we were kids, we got in the station wagon or we got in the car. My father had a convertible Corvette. I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. We took a road trip from Baton Rouge, Louisiana to Miami Beach in this convertible red Corvette. Well, my sister and I sat in the front seat, the passenger seat, the whole way while he drove. It was so much fun. We stopped everywhere we wanted to go. You know, people older, they love those road trips because that's what they experience. And it's really becoming, you know, it's more and more popular. You know, some of the examples are people like when they go to Iceland, they will rent a car. And there's one road, it's called the Ring Road, and goes all around the whole island of Iceland. It takes you about 5-6 days to do, but they're beautiful natural waterfalls and volcanoes and moonscapes and all kinds of whale watching. And cool. There's so many different things that you can experience on that. Lots of people are doing that. Now, I personally, a couple of years ago, took a 6-week road trip from Miami to Maine. And I must say that was one of my all-time favorite trips. And I did this because, well, I've always wanted to go to the Hamptons. I've wanted to go to Kennebunkport. I've wanted to go to Cape Cod. I've been to Savannah and Charleston, but I wanted to revisit those wonderful southern cities. Also, St. Augustine. I mean, places that, you know, you would only go to specifically on a vacation. I went from, like I said, Miami, saw that beautiful Caribbean of modern culture, and saw all the different cultures as they changed going up the East Coast in terms of people's dress, what they ate, the architecture, the music. I mean, I loved it. I came away just saying, America's awesome. I mean, it's just awesome. And that's an awesome trip to take. And I've done a podcast on it. I've done a couple of blogs on it. I have many more blogs to do, but I can only, there's only 24 hours a day, and I do have to go to bed sometimes. But they're also like shorter road trips, like the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky, people like. Lots of people now are renting cars in Europe, like in going through specific areas of France, like in the Champagne area of France, fabulous for wines, champagnes, and foods, and all of the little French roads and the different, it is like, you just feel like, I don't want to go home. The food's so good here. Everything, the air's so clean. It's so beautiful. It's so earthy. People love to do that, and they're doing that. And I think one of the reasons why the road trips, when people do it, they like it, especially solo. You know, when you do it with somebody else, you've got them. In certain places, certain times, it's very enjoyable. Usually the family trips are maybe not as enjoyable because they're all everybody's personality, but after it's over and said and done, it's a wonderful memory and you should do it. But a solo road trip is great because you have time to think. You're with yourself and you can see everything and you are filtering things, I think, on a more aware, because your senses are more aware. They're not being, your focus is not being taken away by what somebody's saying or feeling or what they, you know, want you to do or whatever. So, I mean, you can go at your own pace. You can create your own route, stop where you want to, see the sights. And I'm always saying park where you want to, because that's one thing. When I go with my husband, he's always trying to tell me where to park. That's ridiculous. I'm driving. I know. I'm going to decide where I want to park. But it's those kinds of things. Yeah. So, and I'm thinking about, if I have time, if I can't do it this year, I'll do it next year, going through the Texas Hill Country. This is very beautiful in the springtime. And I just got a brand new beautiful standard poodle, and I'm thinking about taking her because she's already very well trained, and they used to show her, so she's used to traveling on a solo road trip with a dog, and blog about and experience what it's like to travel with a pet solo. So Flirty Girl, get ready. That's her name, isn't that cute? Okay, the next one, and this has been around for a while, but it's still very much a trend, are the girlfriend getaways of women together, you know, whether they're single or they have a significant other, you know, traveling in small groups, just getting away, you know, and having fun, whether it's beach getaways or they go to a specific event, say Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest. But they'll do it with, they'll be solo, or, you know, or they're not bringing their significant other, or they're not, you know, they're coming together as a group, but they really are by themselves. But they're doing it in a very small group, not a big tour or anything like that. The next one is what I call bleisure trips. And this is combining a business trip with leisure. And this really, this has been around, but it's becoming even more popular. You know, there are a lot of women now that are traveling for business, etc. And they are staying, say, a couple of days after a conference or some meetings. They're trying to blend, you know, this opportunity to see new places with they had to go for business. I know that's one of the ways that I developed my knowledge of solo travel, because I did a lot of travel through the United States because I have been on a bond authority for a long time. And when we weren't doing anything that we were supposed to, or I'd stay a day later or whatever, I would go to museums, I would see sites, I mean, all kinds of things. But that, a lot more people are doing that because they have the opportunity to do it. And then there's also the phenomenon of the digital nomad, which these are real solo travelers who are traveling and working when they're away from home. This, there are lots of, especially the millennials are doing this. They're basically working while they're traveling. So they could be in Dubai for a month and they're, you know, doing their work 5, 6, 7 hours a day. And then after that, they're going out and, you know, sitting in the cafes at night or whatever. But you can see them in Bangkok, Hanoi, London, all over. And it's something, and that's the here again. That's what technology's done. So, Catherine, but this is really these are the new what I call solo travel trends that I think people are embracing. There are others, but these are the ones that I really saw that I could speak confidently about.
Well, and all of them are very interesting, and I can only imagine our Solo Travel Talk listeners getting kind of excited for the year to come with all these sort of the developments that are happening. And all of these developments offer a little bit more opportunity for our solo travelers.
Yeah, to have wonderful trips, to make the trips worth their money and their time. So just get on Google and start blogging different topics. Go to my website, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor. Just Google astridtravel.com. You'll see all my ideas. You'll see, you know, how I've done Paris solo so many times and how I went around the world solo. And you know, to kind of help you conceive what you could do or what you would be comfortable doing, etc.
Re-listen to every Solo Travel Talk episode.
Oh, yeah. We've done over 100.
We have. And that will be my natural segue. So we promised everybody there you have an announcement about Solo Travel Talk. So what are you announcing today?
Okay. Well, in planning for 2019, I personally had to take a hard look at the goals for my website, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, and its continuous development, because it really is a complete brand. So, you know, for my listeners who don't know or not familiar with this, because I talk about my website, et cetera, and my blogs and my videos and everything that I'm doing with it. This website is a multi-platform structure that has blogs, videos, travel resources, and a marketplace, plus my solo travel talk podcasts where they're all loaded to the website. So, you know, it's very easy for somebody who doesn't know anything about podcasts to click on that particular icon, and it lists all the podcasts, and they can listen to it. They don't have to read the blogs if they want to get, you know, information on a certain topic. But I focus on affordable luxury ideas, products, and services for the solo traveler. So that's been my focus for this website, which I launched in 2016. And at the end of 2018, I had an in-depth audit of the site because I have over like 450 blogs, and I felt like that I needed to know, I need to do things more modern, or, you know, with technology, things change so much. So you have to know if you are reaching the people who are looking for the information. Well, one of the results of the audit was that myself and my staff, that we needed to spend some time updating the over 450 blogs. And they, you know, the firm that did the audit gave us, you know, a 20-step sheet that we have to make sure everything has. And a lot of the blogs really didn't have that. And I didn't know, or we didn't know, that they were so key for the different algorithms, etc. So we made a commitment to go and to update all of them. Now, you can imagine this is a gargantuan task, but I'm happy to say that we've already completed 150 of the blog revisions. And just for me to say that, it makes my head hurt.
Phew, yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, this is really dedication, but we've got 300 more. So I've set this goal to have this completed by the end of February, maybe early March. But also with that said, and I'm going through this because I want you to understand at the end where all of this is leading. In 2019, I'm going to launch the Astrid Solo Travel Club. And this has been in the works for 2 years because I've had so many people come to me and ask me to put together small group trips, like 4 to 6 people that are affordable but have that luxury element to them. You know, we will be either transporting people in limos or very small, nice Mercedes vans. But these will be curated theme-based types trips, like I told you. You know, so many of my followers, they say, well, I want to go and do your cultural trip to St. Petersburg. I did one trip that I did for the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge that focused on classical dance. I mean, the Russians really are the best ballerinas in the world. And we had a fabulous trip that focused on classical ballet. But also we ate in fabulous restaurants. We went to the most beautiful churches and palaces that you can imagine. And I have such wonderful contacts in Russia. They got us in to see things that you cannot do. So, you know, I have a lot of people say, oh, Astrid, do it again. I want to do it. So, you know, some of my other trips was like a fashion and makeover 1 week in Paris, yes, where I met with a stylist. She did a makeover for me. And I have to say, I'm a senior citizen who's retired. So, you know, when we get this age, we want a makeover. So I decided I wanted to meet with a stylist in Paris and let her really tell me what she thought was right for my look. It was fabulous and not that expensive. But I had two other ladies that went with me. They're my very good friends, and they were my same, you know, we're all in the same stage age of group, our yes. life. And we went to the Yves Saint Laurent Museum. At the time, they had the Dior exhibit at the Louvre. But we did fashion-oriented things, and we went shopping on the best streets. We also made our own perfume. We went to a vintage, an evening where there were vintage, high-end vintage vendors. Oh, it was wonderful. So this trip was focused on fashion and, you know, seeking your style, whatever. Oh, it was wonderful. And lots of people said, oh, Astrid, go back and do it again. So, yeah. So I want to do it again for others. Then, you know, Cartagena was so such a wonderful trip that I took in 2018. You know, that's a perfect place for a long weekend, 4 days of food, music, and just Caribbean, what I call rejuvenation. Oh, it's a beautiful place. And also a food shopping and cultural immersion in Marrakesh. Fabulous. I mean, Marrakesh is such an exotic place to visit. There's so many different things to do there and very affordable. So my plan is to start offering at least two trips by the fall. So, you know, and then repeat these trips at different intervals and, you know, set them up to where they can repeat themselves. But, you know, the development of a travel club will also take a lot of my time to really start it properly. Plus, my staff and I will also be updating and revamping my marketplace on the website because it gets a lot of hits. And I'm not really, it's not to the standard of my liking. So, you know, and then one more other thing. I know I'm just talking to you, but I want you to understand what I'm all about.
You're showing behind the curtain
what
here.
My brand is about, because it's going to affect Solo Travel Talk and how we blend it all together. Because when I travel, I meet so many interesting people and I get them on the show and this kind of thing. But, you know, last myself, I'm a be traveling.
Yeah.
I mean, I have the 3-week trip to Japan in the spring. I'm doing a short kind of leisure trip to New York City in May, another bleisure trip to Denver, which will be about 4 days, then a 3-week trip to India, and a 3-week trip to Australia and New Zealand. So, I mean, that's a lot of traveling. All of these factors that I've just shared, I mean, my time management for 2019 is a serious issue for my solo travel brand. So I've done a lot of soul searching. I've talked to Catherine at length, you know, my wonderful producer and my staff. I really currently don't have the time to do an episode of Solo Travel Talk every week for the next couple of months, and maybe kind of off and on for the year. So, listeners, with that said, we're not going anywhere. So Solo Travel Talk will not cease, but I'm going to have to adjust the broadcast scheduling for the show. We are going to go to what's called a seasonal format, or some type of podcast scheduling that we're still talking about. But the seasonal format will probably be, we'll have 5 to maybe even 10 podcasts about how to do, you know, how to dine solo, or, you know, how to seek medical attention when traveling, or how to avoid this. How-tos would be one. Then also, we might take a specific topic like, say, LGBT travel, safety as, you know, LGBT traveler, all kinds of different helpful hints when you're traveling if you're LGBT solo. So there are lots of different things that, you know, we're thinking about focusing this seasonal scheduling on a specific topic. But with that said, to help us better prepare for our future travel talk, what I would like our listeners to do is to tell us in these next couple of months when we're doing basically our, I don't want to say reruns, but to a certain extent they are, but they'll be updated, that what topics are you as a solo traveler interested in hearing more about? Because we want to, you know, gear our show to what people are most interested in. So Solo Travel Talk is going to continue because I love doing this show. And I've loved watching the audience grow. And, I mean, we have people from, I think it's now 78 countries.
That's amazing.
That have tuned in, that tune in regularly.
Yep.
I mean, it just blows my mind. And I think the podcast platform is so wonderful, and it's growing also exponentially because people don't have the time to read anymore. They might lie in their bed, Google a little bit, but they are in their car a lot, or they have their earphones on, and they or they're cleaning their house or something. They're multitasking, and they can listen to a podcast. So I'll close by saying, keep listening and keep on the lookout for our future announcements on our broadcast schedule, and continue to like, share, and subscribe to Travel Talk. Thanks for your continued support.
Listeners, like Astrid said, we aren't going anywhere, but things might be shifting in the upcoming 2019 year. But we will keep you in the loop because we are so grateful for our audience that we have built, and that we really know, you know, how Astrid was saying, trends are changing, so that's why podcasts are growing. I also like to think we are part of that move for authenticity, is that audio and podcasts are really a relationship builder, and we're so grateful for you to be listeners. Astrid has an amazing resource page on her website, astridtravel.com, where you can find some of Astrid's resources for you, the solo traveler. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, and will continue to be, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. We love Spotify. Any fine place that podcasts can be found, including Astrid's website, astridtravel.com/podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everything, our dear Solo Travel Talks listeners, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or Solo Travel Advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.